So as we've talked about, what are those things that really make a retreat a unique experience in the life of the church? One of the takeaways I've always observed is the chance for us to worship as we just did together as women. There's something beautiful about coming together and just hearing our voices united in worship. So we're going to be doing that a lot this weekend. The other piece that I've just always felt is something we don't do enough of in everyday life at church are share our stories of faith with one another. I can remember almost every testimony that's been shared at the retreats I've been at because they really do help me understand what it is to walk by faith in different life circumstances. And so we'll be hearing from several different women throughout the weekend. And tonight, I am so excited to have someone here. Where is she? Oh, there she is. Eleanor Kearley is going to share her testimony with us tonight. And I just have something just kind of funny to share. I've been now on staff long enough that I've actually seen some people grow up. And I've been a fan of Eleanor since long before I actually knew Eleanor. Because when my girls, who are about a year or two behind you in school, when they were in high school, one of them let me log on to her Instagram so I could just kind of see friends. And so I was just like learning about Eleanor for a long time, and I've always been a fan. No, but part of what I just appreciate is your earnest love for the Lord, your love for people, and the way that you invest in people. And part of what's beautiful is you can grow up in church, and you can grow up in church. And I've seen you do that. And so I'm excited for you to share your story tonight with the women that are here. So would you welcome Eleanor Kearley up?
Hello. I definitely did not know that fact about Instagram. I have many of my posts in my archive that I'm now much too embarrassed to have live there. So you really got a good look at who I am, but all right. So I'll just jump right into it. I wrote it down so as to be articulate and not ramble on. When I was in high school, I would have told you that I believed that I'm a sinner in need of grace and that Jesus is my Savior who died for my sins. And I did believe that. But below the surface, on a heart level, I kind of doubted God's goodness and love, especially towards me. As I grew up through high school and into college, those doubts about God's goodness only grew stronger for me. The main source of this was my parents' divorce, which happened when I was 6 years old. The more my dad was absent in my life, the more I felt like God was. When I tried to make sense of who God the Father is, I was full of resentment and bitterness, believing that even if God was nothing like my earthly father, he still couldn't be a good father if he allowed this to happen to me. I felt like God was absent in the face of my suffering. I continued to feel this way as I went through college. After my freshman year of college, I remember meeting with a mentor and sharing the bitterness and hurt I had towards my parents. I was feeling very dejected. I was surprised, however, when instead of responding with the sympathy and coddling comfort I was expecting, she talked about the forgiveness God calls us to. I was taken aback a little bit. Why should I forgive people who have hurt me when I did nothing to deserve it, especially when those people are my parents and I was just a kid? She lent me a book by Tim Keller called The Prodigal God. It was in reading that book that my eyes were opened to a painful truth. As I read this book, by the grace of God, I saw a glimpse of the depths of my sinful, prideful, self-righteous heart. I was just like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, prideful, self-righteous, and full of bitterness. I thought I hadn't done anything to deserve the pain I was carrying. I saw my parents' wrongdoings, but I didn't really see my own. I thought I had earned God's favor, but I was just as much in need of grace as they were. I realized that my beliefs were wrong and served as obvious insights to the sin within me. I began to understand that sin is more than just disobeying God with my actions. Sin is living a good moral life to control God so that he owes you. Sin is viewing yourself as your own savior through your good works. Sin is seeking something other than God. Sin is obeying God not to get God, but to get the thing you really want. I believe that because I followed God and lived a generally moral life, God at least owed me an intact family. But what I was really seeking was not God, but rather to feel known, loved, and wanted by my parents. I believe that I had inherent goodness within me and that by living a moral life, I was better than my parents. Yet these very beliefs were evidence of my sin. It was by understanding my sin that I understood grace and forgiveness. Keller writes in his book, "Mercy and forgiveness must be free and unmerited to the wrongdoer. If the wrongdoer has to do something to merit it, then it isn't mercy. But forgiveness always comes at a cost to the one granting the forgiveness." I finally saw the gospel in a new light. Me, the undeserving sinner, with not even an ounce of righteousness or goodness within me, God, the gracious giver, who loved me at a great cost to himself, who forgave me willingly at the expense of his life. God was wholly unobligated to forgive me, and yet he did, dying on the cross for every sin I will ever commit so that I might have new life in him. I finally understood grace, and I knew that I had no righteousness of my own to stand on and look down on my parents from. God forgave me while I was still hostile to him, and after receiving that grace, there is only one response to give. One response, to give that grace to others, even if it comes at a cost to myself. God continued to shape and deepen my understanding of his love for me throughout college. Even though I understood God's grace and forgiveness, I still had seasons where I doubted God's love. It may seem odd given the account I just gave, but when life threw more my way, doubt crept in again. My sophomore year of college, I got sciatica, which, as many of you may know, is a condition where the sciatic nerve is pinched and causes pain and numbness from your lower back down through the back of your leg through to your foot. I was in constant, extreme pain, and nothing I did would make it go away. Even medication and physical therapy only slightly lessened the pain. Then my junior year of college, while I was still dealing with sciatica, I developed tendonitis in both of my wrists. I studied the cello in college, so this was particularly upsetting, as it prevented me from playing. I felt completely useless, trapped in a hurting body, both physically and mentally. I was dejected and depressed. I would pray to God, asking for answers, asking for deliverance, asking for him to increase my trust, but deep down, I felt these things were evidence that I couldn't trust God. I once again felt as though God was absent in my suffering. The summer after my junior year, I was listening to a sermon that completely changed my perspective. I wrote in my journal at the time, "Today I listened to a sermon about how Jesus took the worst of darkness and sin so we don't have to, how Jesus was utterly abandoned by his Father so that we don't have to be. I had never realized that Jesus knows how it feels to be rejected and abandoned by his Father. My heart was softened by this truth, realizing that all I have suffered and will suffer is temporary, but the suffering Jesus took on in my place was far worse. He took on the death that I had deserved. I had been working under the assumption that if God truly loved me, he wouldn't let bad things happen to me. But God is far from distant and indifferent to my suffering. He shows his love for us by saving us from death, saving us from our sinful selves through Christ's death. God saw my desperate condition of separation from him, dead in my sins without hope, and he sent his son to die for me. Jesus willingly obeyed his Father and took on the weight of our sin, took on the depths of our pain and suffering out of love. No amount of suffering or pain will ever take away the hope that is in Christ, that is both already ours and not yet fully realized. When our feelings come into conflict with what we know to be true, we need to hold fast to the truth and not trust our feelings. For so long, I lived in a space of confusion and hurt because I let my experiences and feelings guide me. I didn't understand how some of the truths in the Bible could really be true if it didn't match what I saw and felt. How God could be a good and loving God and let me navigate my parents' divorce on my own. But to truly walk by faith and not by sight, we must cling to what we know to be true. We have a good Heavenly Father who sent his Son to die on a cross that we might have life, that our relationship to God might be restored. In Christ, I found hope that no suffering can ever take away. Even when I don't understand the purpose behind my suffering, I can still cling to the unshakable truth of God's love and grace, a love that continues to become more real and more dear to me the more that I suffer on this side of eternity. Thank you.